Okay, so I'm Karen Goldman. I'm an attorney advisor in the Office of Policy Planning at the Federal Trade Commission. So I would like to introduce our next speaker, Michael I. Jordan. Professor Jordan is the Pihong Chang Distinguished Professor in the Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science, and also in the Department of Statistics at the University of California, Berkeley. He is a leading figure in the field of machine learning. We will now begin his pre-recorded presentation.
Hi, I'm Mike Jordan from University of California, Berkeley. Glad to be joining you. I'm going to be talking about emerging challenges in AI, taking a perspective that brings machine learning together with economics, which is a relatively new way to think. So I've been working in AI for over 30 years now. I should say I don't think of myself as an AI researcher. I'm really a statistician, sometimes computer scientist, sometimes control theorist, increasingly somewhat of an economics person. And part of the message here is going to be don't take this AI buzzword too seriously. It's not the buzzword that most of us use who've actually been working on machine learning for all these years. It's an aspiration perhaps even for the future, but it's also an unhelpful buzzword for many of the situations it's being used in. So let me get started here with a little bit of historical background, at least from my perspective. So first of all, this field really is just statistical data analysis. Around 1980, it started to become called machine learning, at least by people in computer science. And it has already had a large number of applications in industry that have changed the world, going back already to the 1990s. So the back end in many companies, such as Amazon, was formed of machine learning algorithms, meaning really statistical data analysis with large amounts of data at scale and done in relatively close to real time. So fraud detection systems to bring fraud rates down so you could do online commerce were critical in the development of those companies. Search algorithms are based on statistical data analysis, machine learning, and critically supply chain management. So a company like Amazon that serves billions of products has got to know where every piece of every product is in the supply chain at every moment. So they model things like storms in the Indian Ocean, and that's critical already in the 1990s. And in fact, the algorithms being used now are not so different from the ones being used in that period of time. Having built those systems, it was natural for companies to think about the human side, turn this towards away from the back end, because a lot of the data was for and about humans. And so systems like recommendation systems started to emerge. Where you would take in data, do data analysis on one person's buying patterns and use that to recommend products to other people. Now, if you do this at scale of tens of millions of people, or even hundreds of millions as we're seeing in China, and, you know, interesting new issues start to come up, and those were already being faced 20 years ago. Now we're moved to the third generation. This is often called the deep learning era or the AI era. But really, it's not that different. The applications have kind of started to focus more on human imitative things, speech recognition, computer vision, so on. But I think of these really as the end-to-end era. It's that we've been able to commoditize something like computer vision or speech recognition. So that end-to-end system can be used for new purposes and used in creative ways. But there's really not been a qualitative transition in the ideas per se. The algorithms have not changed that much. There's lots more data and lots more machines, but sort of those are just really quantitative changes. So what's new, to my view, of what's happening now is not really this human imitative AI. It's the emergence of new markets based on data analysis and producers and consumers all coming together. So I'm going to be focusing on that, all the challenges there. So in thinking about what AI is today and how it might be regulated and what are the meanings of that and consequences, I don't think you need to think too much about the history of AI. You really want to think about what's happening, and it really is something changing and in fact, I think, exciting new ways. So let's go back a little bit in history. How did people make money off of the web using machine learning? And now I kind of have Google in mind, or Facebook. So their argument has been that they provide a service to humans, search or social networks, but they need to provide better and better services somehow, and they're sort of stuck in the virtual world. So all they know about humans is the data they get, and so they have to analyze that data to learn more about the preferences and needs of humans. So with all the attendant issues about privacy and data analysis and all that we're seeing play out, kind of the problem is they don't know what to do with that data in terms of providing better services. What have they done? Well, they've advertised, they've made their money off advertising. So they created a market, but it's not between the consumers or the producers of the data. It's between themselves and advertisers. And they're trying to figure out what humans want, but the data are pretty weak, really. People talk about all the data search engine companies have. But at the scale of tens of millions of people or more, that data is not that good of an indication of any individual human's preferences or needs. So the service gets a little bit better, but not hugely better. And they are kind of embracing AI in the hope that it'll lead to even more impressive service. But still, people are not going to be willing to pay for that service. So it's not really yet an economically new model, and advertising remains the coin of the realm. So I think what's new right now, one of the big trends, is that there are companies that have different kinds of data, not just clicks data and browsing data. So the e-commerce payment companies have transactional data. And I think it's a better place to start. So it allows already a notion of a two-way market to arise. It's a transaction not between Google and the person, but between a producer and consumer, both who are on some platform. So Uber is actually an example in one particular vertical. They have producers and consumers, and they don't provide any extra value themselves beyond linking the producers and the consumers, really. I believe that this is actually a better starting place for starting to think about data analysis and algorithms and people altogether, because there's going to be economic value associated with data now, and that's actually better. Economic value is something that humans can build on and start talking about issues such as fairness and what's the value of my data. It makes sense if the data already has some value. So let me actually step back for a moment and think about this buzzword intelligent. Again, I think a lot of us think of ourselves as statistics and machine learning people, and we don't think that we're really working on human intelligence, AI. And in fact, as someone who was in a neuroscience department and had a background in psychology, frankly, I don't think there's been that much progress. We don't understand intelligence, certainly human intelligence. We have a very long ways to go. And we haven't, over the last 40 years, really deeply understood intelligence. Our learning systems mimic human intelligence. They take data out of an intelligent system and they mimic that. That's very far from actually getting at the core of intelligence. And I don't think that's the future, actually. I don't think, at least in my lifetime, that we're going to deeply understand the intelligence of a five-year-old boy or girl. And we don't really need to, is the point. It's not necessary to build the kind of intelligent systems that we need to have our life be better. So if you think about intelligence, there's another kind of intelligence on the planet. It's not just human brains and minds. A market is an intelligent entity. If you're looking down at the Earth from Mars and you say, what's intelligent down there, you notice that every city has food coming into it every day. Every restaurant has the right number of items for all of its menu. Every household has the right amount of food in every store and so on. And that's done by a huge network of millions of local decisions not really coordinated. So it's the usual perspective of microeconomics. But the point is that that's an intelligent system. And it's arguably as intelligent in its own way as a brain or a mind. It's adaptive, it's robust, and so on. And perhaps oddly, that perspective has not really been part of the dialogue on AI. And I think it should be. I think we should be thinking of creating artificial markets, artificial intelligent markets, and not just old kinds of markets. New kinds of markets will emerge as we bring statistics and data together with market principles. And so new consequences of this emerge, and I think they're actually more favorable than some of the ones we've seen in the current dialogue over just classical AI. So here's a little formula. AI should be thought of, if we're going to use that buzzword, as data plus algorithms, but also plus markets. So we're not simply trying to imitate humans and find out about their needs by looking at data. There's a lot of guessing in that, and I think that'll be true for the foreseeable future. Rather, we're trying to use market design and have data flows being created between producers and consumers, not just between companies and users. And that will provide better services that people will be more interested in and be willing to pay for. And moreover, if you're going to talk about a concept like fairness, it's not just the data analysis and the way the data were collected that leads to fairness. You need economic concepts like utility. You should not give the same service to everyone. That's not fair. Rather, I should have my own utilities be expressed in some way in the system. Let me give it a concrete example of this. So music is arguably a domain in which there has not been a real living market. More people are making music than ever before. People drive a taxi during the week and put their music up on a SoundCloud during the weekend. But they're not making any money off of that, and they're engaged in no market. They put their product out there and it disappears from their life. More people are now listening to that than ever before, however, but there's no connection between the producer and the consumer. So sites such as Spotify or Pandora stream the music to people. However, they don't. How do they monetize that? They're not creating a market. What do? Well, they do what you think they do. They use advertising to make money. So I think that's broken. I think we're missing a market here, and so a lot of human happiness is being left on the table. People who might like to have their career be play music for other people can't, because there isn't a market in which they can participate. There's the record companies, but that's a tiny and mostly broken market. All right, so how do you create this? It's in some sense not that hard. It's just data analysis. So it's not fancy schmancy AI, but it's really an important way to think about how to use the data. Just take the data of who listens to who. Maybe YouTube provides it, maybe Spotify. Make a dashboard for someone who's been putting their music on SoundCloud. They can now look at a map of the United States, say, and see that they were being listened to this past week in, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, by 10,000 people. Now that they know that, that's economic value. They can give a show there and make maybe a few tens of thousands of dollars. And if they do that a few times during the year, there's a salary for that person. They can leave their taxi job. Moreover, a market is creative, so they can, now they're connected to their fans, they can make other kinds of offers, like I'll play at your wedding for $10,000 and so on. And I can imagine like 1 million people in any given country doing this. So there's AI being used to create new jobs, not to take away jobs. Because when you link customers and producers, you've created a market that creates new kinds of value. Of course, the company that provides this is going to make money as well. They simply take a cut from the transactions because these are real economic value transactions. But they're not the one who are having to create the value and you worry about their use of the data. Okay? They have to be careful with privacy, certainly, but it's somehow easier. There is a company doing this in the United States. It's called United Masters. If you are curious, go have a look at what they are doing. It's actually real musicians and real tech people doing something of this form. But I think this is actually far broader than music and far broader than this one company. I think that this is going to happen not just in music, but more broadly in entertainment. You have all kinds of producers and consumers who could meet up, provide value to each other, information services, personal services, people who want to cook for others, people who make haircuts, and so on and so forth. Now, part of this is that you want to make recommendations. You want to have people have data being brought into play here. It's not just a classical old market on a new platform. It's actually new kinds of markets. All right, so let's think a little bit about that. So a classical recommendation system makes independent recommendations to people who come on their site. Right? No economics is involved because there's no scarcity and there's no interactions of the decisions. So that's not going to be true in real-world markets. There's going to be interactions and scarcity. So think about a classical recommendation system. You all know what these are. A record is kept of a customer's purchases. Similar customers are recommended similar purchases. And Amazon pioneered this. Right? But these recommendations are done independently, and it's quite plausible that we could make the same recommendations to two people, three, hundreds of thousands of people. Is that a problem? So if I recommend the same movie to everyone, it's not at all a problem. I can copy the bits. It's classical. I'm in the virtual world, not in the real world, and so there's no scarcity. What if I recommend the same book to everyone or to hundreds of thousands of people? Still not such a problem because there's something called print on demand. I can copy it quickly and have it out in 3 days to everybody. But if I recommend the same restaurant to everyone, I'm really trying to provide economic value to people. Tell them that you've arrived in a city, you push a button like an Uber person would push to get a ride. The restaurants around me see that I'm now ready to eat and they make offers to me, maybe discounts and so on. And I look at the offer, I say, that restaurant, that's for me, and accept. There's now a transaction being made. So it's not just an advertising of restaurant service or kind of classical push service, it's actually a transactional service. But now if I recommend the same restaurant to everyone, they'll all go there and there'll be congestion. If I recommend the same street to every driver, I build a system that independently recommends routes to the airport, I'm gonna create congestion. If I recommend the same stock purchase to everyone, I'm gonna create instability in the market. All right, so these are the kind of problems that arise when you think at economic perspective, and the solution really is straightforward in some sense, just set up markets between restaurants and diners, or even between streets and drivers, between financial consultants and people with wanting to invest their money. So I hope you see that there's many challenges of this kind. This is one, actually, in creating a different kind of AI that's not just the kind that focuses on imitating humans, but is broader than that. Here's a list of some of the things I work on in my own group, and you can see things like real-time, fairness, diversity, provenance. These aren't the classical robot vision, sort of style machine learning. They're broader. They're sort of reflecting a broader goal in terms of economic networks. I'm going to skip the next two or three slides of my slides here. You can look at them afterwards, but just to say, multiple decisions is not just economics. It's also statistics. When you're starting to make decisions under uncertainty, you have to worry about hypothesis testing and multiple decisions. And so a lot of our systems have to got to make not just one decision, but huge numbers of decisions. And when you do that, you start getting false positives becoming a big concern. And classical statistician worry about this at the scale of maybe a few decisions, but now a system like Uber or a medical system or a commerce system is making hundreds of thousands or millions of decisions per day. You really have to worry about all the interactions. And there are schemes called false discovery rate schemes, which worry about controlling those errors. And I'm gonna skip over the slides that talk about this. I just wanna say there's now been some work on any time control of false discovery rates, where you can have a person make or a group making decisions over time, and you can stop them at any time, and their error rate up until that time is under control. So it has more of a control or almost economic perspective, but it's statistics now being brought to bear. So I'm gonna skip over the slides that talk about that. And let me move to my final slide. So some parting comments on this buzzword AI. I do have a op-ed called Artificial Intelligence, The Revolution Hasn't Happened Yet, that provides some background to what I've been talking about today. It's not the same material, but starts to give a little bit of a breakdown of what AI refers to. And the one that you mostly see in the newspapers is human imitative. I don't think that is the right goal. I also don't think autonomy should be the right goal. But really what I think is emerging is a new engineering discipline that it blends economic ideas, computer science, statistics, and related fields to build network large-scale social decision systems with a wide range of applications. So in thinking about what you're doing in this meeting and what you want to write about, I hope you'll at least have a nod in the direction of something new is emerging that isn't just data analysis and the replacement of human beings by computers, but it's really this broader engineering context. So thank you very much.